This is Here and Now. Interpol has released an image of two men who used stolen passports to board the Malaysia Airlines flight that vanished on its route from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing 4 days ago. The two men are Iranians who flew to Malaysia on their Iranian passports, then switched to the stolen ones to go from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. Both were supposed to fly on to Europe, and officials say it's unlikely either man had links to terrorist groups, which doesn't bring authorities any closer to finding the missing jet, which disappeared from radar while flying into the Gulf of Thailand at 35,000 feet. Now, Malaysian officials are saying today that the plane made a turn and made it to the Strait of Malacca, which is hundreds of miles from its last reported position. The search for the plane has been underway, as we said, for 4 days now. Well, joining me now is Captain Mark Weiss. He's a former pilot with American Airlines. He's flown the Boeing 777 and now leads the civil aviation team with the Spectrum Group. That's a consulting firm based in Washington, D.C. Captain Weiss, welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the latest news that this plane may have taken a turn and gone hundreds of miles away from its last reported position into the Strait of Malacca, perhaps near this small island there. What do you make of that we're just now hearing that it may have gone far off course?
To be honest with you, that's a very disturbing situation. Pilots are trained to aviate, navigate, and communicate. These pilots have been trained in a method that if you deviate from your intended flight path for whatever reason, then you have to enunciate that, make sure that there's nobody in your path, to allow air traffic control to know that. If you can't communicate directly with air traffic control and you transmit a message, what they call in the blind, just transmitting it for other aircraft that would be in the vicinity, they'd be able to hear that. Somebody, had they been in control of that aircraft, one of the pilots would have said that they were deviating from their flight path. So that's disturbing in itself.
So what does it tell you that they didn't? That they didn't get to that communicate part of that motto, aviate, navigate, communicate?
Well, it brings up a potential number of different scenarios, I would think. The first one is we don't really even know who was in the cockpit at the time that they made that deviation. We don't know if there was a problem with them trying to really wrestle with the aircraft for whatever reason to make sure that it was still flying, that you're still aviating. If you recall in that, and everybody seems to refer back to the Air France 447 aircraft, when they were working the problem on the aircraft, which seemed to have been self-induced, they really didn't communicate the problem. And that aircraft changed altitude. It changed course. We only found out a lot of that information later on when we found the flight data recorder and the voice recorder. And I think that's really what's going to be the telling point in this tragedy, is once you have those black boxes and are able to identify who was in the cockpit, was there a struggle in the cockpit? Really, what defined the parameters at the time of that turnaround, and whether or not there was even an altitude change?
Well, when you say struggle in the cockpit, and you've mentioned this a couple of times now, is this are you looking at foul play?
That's one, certainly one of the potential opportunities. Again, did somebody come into the cockpit? Did somebody who was in the cockpit try to wrestle that airplane away from the pilots? Did one of the pilots have a meltdown? Certainly, there seems to have been enough time for word to have gotten out from the cockpit, if word had wanted to be gotten out, that they had deviated from their flight path. And that's disturbing, and it should be disturbing to anybody.
Of course, we know that cockpits have a significant amount of locking mechanisms on them these days, although I saw a report today that one of the pilots had on a previous flight invited some passengers up to take photos in the cockpit. What about radar? Wouldn't radar detect where this plane was going, even if it did turn off any kind of transmitting of its location?
Well, if the transponder had been turned off, which basically radar sends out a signal and gets a return from the aircraft. The more sophisticated radars basically interrogate the aircraft. So the radar return from the aircraft would be telling the ground station that this is MH370, we're at 35,000 feet, our heading is whatever the heading was, and it's giving the aircraft information to the ground radar station. Yes, that information should have been gotten. Radar tracks should have been following that aircraft. Now, I don't know really what the radar coverage area is down there, but certainly even if the transponder had been turned off, there should have been a primary signal that there should have been some target out there. That's disturbing again.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Captain Mark Weiss, who's a former pilot with American Airlines, and we're talking about Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which still has not been found. Captain Weiss, if this was not foul play, and it's a 777, this is one of the safest aircrafts in many of these airlines' fleets, what could possibly have happened?
Really perplexing question, because quite frankly, I mean, I've flown the airplane. It's a very solid platform, very forgiving aircraft, very well designed. It's a very much of a pilot's airplane system-wise. There's a lot of triple redundancies on something like that. You know, if there had been some kind of catastrophic event on board the aircraft, that certainly could have triggered, you know, a deviation from the flight path. But remember, that aircraft had been recently undergone maintenance checks only, I think, 10 or 12 days before. Malaysia Airlines is a very safe airline. The pilots are well-trained. The flight attendants are well-trained. So when you take that into account and you list the array of potential of opportunities of what could have gone wrong, you start to eliminate or prioritize really. If the airplane was structurally stable at that point, what would have caused that to happen? And then you start to come into these scenarios that I've mentioned earlier.
Well, what do you think happened?
Well, my background is in security, and I tend to look at things in a light that kind of focuses on that. There would have been no reason to turn off a transponder. There would be no reason to deviate from the flight path. I question as to who was in the cockpit and whether or not somebody was there was a fight in the cockpit, whether or not who was in control, whether the pilot or pilots were incapacitated and somebody else had some other design in mind for the termination of that flight. Mm. Now, you know, there was plenty of fuel on that airplane. And, you know, there's a lot of not just ocean out there. There's a lot of jungle out there. That airplane could be anywhere.
And we will keep following it until it is found. Captain Mark Weiss, former pilot with American Airlines, now runs the aviation team for the Spectrum Group in Washington, D.C. Captain Weiss, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now.